Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everybody. How are you doing tonight? This is Bill Sanji on Comfest Radio, hosted by Comfest Global Community Film Festival, to let you know, hey, this is an exciting time of the year because we are now accepting anybody who wants to send in a movie, documentary, whether you're professional, whether you're an extra, whether you're in school, movies, send them in right now. Because that's what we're looking for. We got a super panel of judges, so you can check up on all of their names. And you see just who they are, not us. See, I can be bought off. That's why they let judge. But seriously, Comfest Global Community Film Festival, we're now accepting movies. So, hurry up. And to you who have kids in school, we're going to be having the schools coming in again. This is really, really exciting. So, I'm going to tell you a little bit more of it during the evening. But tonight, before we get into the program, I want to do some quick shout outs because later on, this is what you're going to have to do. We're not going to be taking phone calls tonight because this is the big Alana Miles interview. It is just absolutely stunning. It is heartbreaking. It is candid. And it just, you won't believe what this poor lady has been through. Now, I do want to say one thing. Alana, I know you're listening. Happy belated birthday. Your birthday was December 25th. Congratulations. I didn't know that before. But a happy birthday to you. And I hope you love this interview as much as I did. You know, talking to you, it was incredible. I want to give a quick shout out to Chris Van Ziel and Kimberly, who used to be his girlfriend, is now his fiance from the Toronto Argos. They just got engaged. So all the best to you guys. Congratulations. I saw that on Facebook. You guys, you make a nice couple. You look great. Okay. What we're going to do is we're going to start off the interview. And during the night, maybe if you're nice, I'm going to take breaks during the evening because this is a one-hour interview. So without further ado, I would like to get to the incredible, the one and only, the Canadian phenom, the Toronto girl, the lady who turned the music industry upside down, ladies and gentlemen, Alana Miles. Well, welcome everybody. You're tuned in to Comfest Radio, and I tell you, I have such an exciting interview right now with Canada's icon, the one and only lady who we all fell in love with back in 1989 and is still a dynamo today, the one and only Grammy Award winning...
And Juno.
You jumped in too quick. As you hear, ladies and gentlemen, that's Alana Miles. Alana, thank you so much for being on Comfest Radio.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. You're an absolutely delightful man, and it's a pleasure.
Oh, the pleasure is all mine, and thank you for being my Facebook friend, too, I want to say. As a fan, that makes me feel so cool.
Well, you know, I've always known that maybe I may have pissed a few people off along the way, but I always knew my fans were at radio, and maybe not anybody with an axe to grind or something to prove, but what has happened over the years is they have become respectful, and they just like my music. You know, so I owe them the reciprocal respect for that love, because without them, I wouldn't have what I have. My fans are at radio. That's why I was so successful. The program director, the person spinning the tune, to put them into high rotation so that the folks could hear it, and it just went on from there.
Oh, well, yeah. Oh, no. I remember when your album came out. I was actually doing some DJing at the time, and every person, do you have Alana Miles, Black Velvet, do you have Alana Miles, and every, not just Black Velvet, but every hit they loved, Lover of Mine.
It's funny to think that the radio director at Atlantic many, many years ago, back in 87, 88, or more like 88, just before part of the release of the record, was concerned that it was one of those females on a very corrupt label who they just said, drop everything and release this, because maybe some, oh gee, I gotta be careful what I say, because maybe some pretty. So he pulled it out, and from the first, oh, yeah, yeah. And he's like, oh, my God, like, was I wrong? And he'll never forget telling me that story.
Well, yeah, this is something I wanted to tell you, actually. A couple of years ago, I listened to a radio show, Coast to Coast. It's with George Norrie, but occasionally they play all different types of music. And Art Bell, who originally started this, he does everything from...
I remember. I know the name Art Bell.
Yeah, he does the stuff like Controversies, like Jesse Ventura kind of stuff that's out now, you know. UFOs. So anyway, to make a long story short, he was come back from a commercial and Black Velvet was playing and he goes, oh, do I love that song? He goes, we recorded that a bit of that song. He goes, the reason I'm playing it is if anybody out there, could you please tell me who this is? I have to buy this album. And
seriously?
I swear to God.
How long ago was this?
This was about 2 years ago. And
was Art Bell young?
Oh, he's still on. He's
No, but is he a young one? Because if you're under 20, I can understand you not knowing who Black Velvet singer is. But anybody over 20, well, you know.
Oh no, he's in his early 70s.
Oh my goodness. Okay, so, that explains it because when he was 50, he wasn't listening to Black Velvet to popular radio. Maybe.
Right.
Maybe he wasn't a rock and roll fan.
I'm not sure, but if the funny thing is, he went to commercial again. And about,
I think we should call Art Bell, don't you?
We could do that.
Yeah. Art, what's going on here?
But after that, he came back from commercial and he goes, okay, people, please stop. Stop. You've crashed our website. People were writing in, Atlanta Miles from Toronto. Atlanta Miles, she did this and this and that.
I love that.
And
I love that. That's
I was
lovely.
So proud of you. I thought, oh, my God, you know. And he kept playing it and playing it. And he goes, I went out and I just bought the CD and I went out and I did this and, you know.
Oh, wow. Isn't that nice? I remember years ago, I wasn't very, let's call it, what's that, I'm at a loss for words, which is rare. The Canadianism that you're devoted
patriotic.
It slipped my mind, but I had lost faith in the Canadian industry, in the music industry, having rejected me so frequently and so vehemently, and. So I was very whatever that word is, and devoted to Canadians, and so devoted to my country.
But patriotic.
That's the word. And so I kind of was you know, not altogether patriotic until the outpouring from Canadians owning Alana Miles as their own. And I tell you, I learned a new sense of patriotism from my fans. They taught me that.
You belong to us. I mean, that's how we feel, you know. Like,
I may be not a Canadian artist. I'm an international artist, but I do belong to Canada. Because this is where I got my beginnings. I listened to FM radio. I listened to all the fabulous music that Canada provided me to make me who I am, to introduce me to all the fantastic artists who, by the way, were mostly Canadian.
Right.
My influences, anyway. You know, the Neil Youngs and Leonard Cohens and Joni Mitchell and, oh, God, shall I go on, you know?
Yeah, no, I know what you mean.
Sarah McLachlan, I'm not a fan, but her voice is extraordinary. Katie Lang, Brian Adams, and maybe I opened the doors for people like Alanis Morissette and maybe, you know, somebody like Shania Twain.
I was actually going to say that later on, I thought you did open the door, especially for Alanis Morissette, because she, I think, okay, now this is Bill Santee.
Everybody thought it was my new record.
Well, yes, because I think she patterned herself a little bit after you.
Well, I think she did, and then when I was such a mean-ass bitch to her in an airport, she went, oh, I don't like you. And I don't blame her at all. I'll apologize that till the cows come home, because I was a mean-ass bitch. I just come off a tour for my second Rocking Horse record that was 28 cities in 32 days.
Oh, well, that's understandable then, while you're a little bit off.
All my underwear zipped out of my, and fell out of my zipper pocket because they were checking. Zip it back up.
Oh, geez.
And I was all bitchy, and there she was going, hi, how are you? I'm a big fan. I went, meanie, you know, and I feel so bad because she really is a sweet and lovely girl. I've learned a ton from her. You know, of how to accept awards for one. You know, how to
right.
Gracious, and how to dismiss the bull crap that people put forth when you become a phenomenal success. And I tell you, Bill, there must be a I don't know if I'm right, but I'll bet you she's been called Miss Smiles on many occasions, or Alanis Morissette, because I've been called Alanis Smiles on many occasions. It must go both ways. There must have been a confusion factor.
That's weird.
Yeah, it is weird. It is weird. I've had a weird, weird career. You know, the first hit I have, the record company is forcing some poor country girl to record the same song and release it at the same time. And I said, why did you do that? Well, you know, we wanted to make you into a Led Zeppelin. Well, people become Led Zeppelin because people make them that way. You can't force phenomenon. Ugh, whatever. Poor girl, her career was shot.
Well, you know who else I think, and her, forgive me, her name just went right out of my head. From Ottawa, I remember she wore the Home Hardware shirt on a T-shirt. I think she patterned her career after Tiny Girl. She's married, oh, my God, Nickelback.
Avril Lavigne. I forget her name on numerous occasions.
I think she did pattern herself after you, too. I mean,
you know what? I don't know, because she told everybody, I listen to nobody, I don't know anything.
I doubt that, because, remember, well, I...
And all I hear is my brand of sassy rock.
Yes. Thank you.
You know, but that could have been the people she worked with, you see. She's very young.
Yeah, but, yeah.
You know, and she's got a great voice, I must say. She does. She's got great personality in her voice. I just don't like the songs because they're not of my, you know, they're pop for kids.
Yes.
And I was much older than her when I came out with my music, and so the demands I placed upon myself for musical influences were far different. That's all. She's to be commended. I like her. I think she's got it going on.
Yes. Yes, she does.
You know, she's got a seriously good voice. But we are, the industry forms the youth. When you're that young, the industry forms you. You know, it's like Justin Bieber could not possibly have formed himself.
That's true.
He couldn't have. He didn't have what I had. I was 29 when my record got released. I was 29. You know, that's almost old enough to be their mother.
Yeah.
That's pushing it a bit, but you know what I mean.
Yes, stepmother.
Okay. Older sister. Older sister from another father.
Yeah, there you go.
But whatever. The point I'm simply making is I had an awful lot of time to assemble my musical tastes prior to my release of my first record.
Right.
I was seasoned.
Right.
And they are not. They're yet growing, growing up right in front of us.
Don't you think too many artists are doing that now? They're growing up in front of us instead of having a little bit of a background.
Well, unfortunately, the nature of the industry now is to get the youth out there and mold them and make what they can from them. And there are very few Lady Gagas.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm kind of on the fence with her. You know, she's very talented, but the shtick...
Madonna's not.
Yeah. To me, she's all marketing.
Well, she's talented, and but we're going to watch How the Mighty Fall. When you get that great, there's no place else to go but down.
That's true.
And I'm speaking from experience, you know. The fortunate thing is it really depends on what you do once you become there. And what I did was I allowed I continued making records, and the quality of my music remained high regardless of whether I had the money from the company to promote me. I still made it a demand upon myself for the quality to be as high so I could live with myself regardless. Because one of these days, when something comes out, people will go back to that catalog and go, oh, wow, and rediscover me.
Well, I don't think we've ever forgotten you. I mean, Lover of Mine just was a song that I think it hit everybody.
I want someone to record that and have it go viral. I would love Celine Dion to record it because she could sing the crap out of it. I guess it's not her kind of song.
I'm just trying to...
But I would love some great singer to get their mitts on that and make me all that writing and publishing.
Wow. Well, if I had the voice for it, I'd try it.
Oh, would you please do?
Well, you know, we'd probably get a lot of comedy hits, but...
Or, you know, Justin Bieber. Or whoever. Sing. It's a good song. Go sing that song. Everybody will relate. Yeah, my day is coming. Where, you know, I don't... Christopher tried to explain it to me. He said there was a country artist in Nashville, and they were nuts for last time I saw William, and they went forward to record it, and of course Christopher was happy because he co-wrote the song. It was mostly his song anyway. And it's a fabulous song, and I put my writing hat on it when I sang it, when they were all dumbfounded as to what to do. And I said, leave a hole, leave a hole, holes work, I'm the queen of holes. So intervals. I left last time I saw William, pause, he was all undone. And that hole speaks volumes. It makes people go, oh, and weep. That one hole. It's just a hole for people to get the power punch and then go, oh, collect their thoughts and then go, oh. It's like how we cry. I understand that. I've cried. I've spent so many tears through the writings of my songs that I understand how the people need to receive that hole to create the passion and the uplifting of the hearts and the remembrances of past hardships and sorrows. And it's in my music. That's how I do it. I call myself the Queen of Holes as a joke. But in that case, in that respect of William, the girl tried to record it, and she came back and said he thought he was going to see another potential hit. And she said, can't do it. I can't get to the place where she came from. There's no outdoing it. So it remains a classic, not a single. Perhaps it could have been a single in another day, you know?
So...
But she, there are many that have tried, attempted to record the song, and like with Black Velvet, I wouldn't say they fail miserably, but very few rise to the occasion of, would you just calm down when you're singing something sexy? Just calm down. Everybody tries so hard to put the sexual element into it. Well, I never did. I just did, I was calm. And
that's
I,
natural.
I just was relaxed and calm and allowed my being to express. And when you get, when you think you have to be sexy, turn off because you push too hard. You push way too hard. And you don't need to. Not with that song.
So do you think if somebody did record that, it would do what Whitney Houston did for Dolly Parton's I Will Always Love You? Do you think it would...
Well, they're two very different songs.
Oh, I'm just talking like an analogy type of thing.
Because it's my belief that my contributors, David Tyson, who came up with that groove, Christopher came up with the melody and knew exactly what to give my voice to sing to create that
right.
Personification of the man and the secret, telling of the story of Elvis and the way he brought rock and roll to a white America and made a new religion that will bring you to your knees. From the, you know, borrowing from Jimmy Rogers on the Victrola up high. Do you know how many girls call the Victrola pie?
Really?
I have to correct them. It's not Victrola pie. It's not Victrola pie. It's Victrola up high. But they don't know what a Victrola is. They don't. You have to know. I researched Black Velvet. I researched Elvis. I gave the whisperings was Gladys holding baby Elvis in her arms. She'd lost his twin brother. They buried him in the backyard. Elvis was a twin. And she was graced with this one child, and she whispered with sweet nothings into his ear, affirmations of his success. And that's what I put into that record. That's what I'm whispering. Everybody wants to know. That's what I'm whispering. It's a song of love. I loved my music, and it's loving me back to this day.
Oh, no, you could tell that. I just, like, by the look on your face when you sang, just how you moved.
That's the only place. I didn't know what love is because I was never shown it as a child. But I did know, I must know what it is because I gave it to my music.
Well, you gave it to us. Again, as a fan, you really did.
Well, that's the very first segment. Can you kind of get to, you get the idea of what she's saying, don't you? We're going a little more in-depth on that shortly. I just want to remind you, you're listening to ComFest Radio, brought to you by the ComFest Global Community Film Festival. Remember, if you're a novice filmmaker, or you've been making films for a while, you've been having trouble getting them played, getting some air, send them to ComFest. Go to ComFest.com, two M's, two F's, okay? You know by now, I don't have to keep telling you. Because you can upload your movie, the judges will look at it. The last couple of years, we've had people from Ryerson and U of T, and I believe York, who have won awards and just about ready to give up. So I want to remind you about that and remind, again, Alana, happy birthday. That is so cool. You're born on Christmas Day. Reminds me, remember Boney M. Child was born on Christmas. No, I won't sing. I'm sorry. It'll ruin your interview. Okay, listen, I'm not going to tell you the big news now, but in a little bit, I'm going to tell you a secret. We have an incredible organization who's just started following our tweets and is starting to tweet us. Once I tell you, you have a little bit of time to go on the chat line And the seventh person who can tell me who that company is, the organization, whomever, we're going to give you a ComFest t-shirt. If they fit me, they'll fit you, okay? So trust me. So that goes for everybody. That could be one of the, Randy, it could be you. Randy, one of you are the Wolfpack. Jamie, John, Frank, even Natalie. Natalie, it was nice talking to you today. We're going to do something. I'm coming out there to Oshawa. We're going to do something together, whether it's radio, whether it's a film, whether it's TV. You'll see. We're going to do something really cool. Come on, I'm giving you time. Go to the fridge. Top up your pops. I doubt you're drinking pops. Because, hey, listen, you better be well-stocked, because tomorrow we're getting another pretty big storm, so get ready for that. Okay? Well, I'm tired of waiting. I'm tired of talking. And I'm getting ready to listen to part two. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only, the beautiful Alanna Miles.
And you brought up Love Is. Love was another great song. Love Is.
Oh, that was so tawdry. I know, it was fabulous. Didn't get the recognition it deserved.
I agree with you on that.
Yeah, it was just a matter of, oh, there's no telling. I thought Who Loves You was the one that was going to break out, but it didn't. I really thought Who Loves You was the breakout song. And I gave it so much passion on such simple, simple words. But it was Black Velvet, and that's fine too, because it gave us wowie. I was afraid of that song because I was afraid of the commerciality of it. I was afraid that was the one that was going to bring me every single wish, and that I'd have to go and face all my demons, which I have done.
So I thought that for you would be like huge too. You know, well, I got banned from City TV. Much Music, because they called it too sexy or suggestive.
Oh, that was a person at the top who just didn't want me to succeed. And so she, with my new release of my new record with Miles Copeland, released from my Atlantic deal with Bad For You, written by Dudeface, what's his name? Eric Bazillion. And who's the guy who loved Living on a Prayer with Bon Jovi?
Oh, really?
Yeah. Big, huge. He wrote for Bonnie Tyler. He wrote for, I've forgotten his name. But anyway, he co-wrote the song with me and Eric Bazillion. Eric Bazillion wrote God Was One of Us, which was a number one breakout song. And I can't remember his name, and I'm so sorry, but fantastic hit songwriter. He's had a string of number ones. And I wrote songs for Cher and this person and that, and like I said, Bon Jovi and so on. And this was a breakout song. It was a number one song, but she pissed on it.
Wow.
By refusing to play it because, as she said, our audience is young and this is too sexy.
Oh, huh?
Well, 6 months later, Chris Isaacs came out with that gorgeous song with all the models that looked as though they were having sex in his lap.
Oh, yeah.
So, Too Sexy My Ass.
Yeah.
It was personal. It was a vendetta on her part.
It's jealousy again.
It's just jealousy. And I made the foolish error of not doing what Aerosmith did by saying, you're wrong, and promoting the crap out of it. I went, oh, I've been defeated. I didn't fight for myself. I didn't have it in me. I just didn't have it in me. I had to go away.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I just had to go away because it really was. Everybody wonders, why wasn't that number one? It got in top 40 in Canada radio, but it needed a video to push it over the top. And it was a lovely video. I look back and go, gee, I'm a sexy mama.
I still watch it now and then on YouTube because I have my, you know, my own YouTube channel. I like to put stuff on, and
yeah.
A lot of your music is on there, but that, you know, it's just such a great song.
You know, it's my favorite song to play with an orchestra. It's like it reminds me what a good song it is. I got sick of it because of the whole psychological downsizing of Alanna Miles that happened around the time of that. And also, I haven't made a penny from my Best Of or the Arrival record because Miles Copeland never sent me statements and he's taken all the money. And I'm trying to go after his ass and say, hey, hello, I'm over here, buddy boy. You know, it's been a downer for me. It makes me want to cry when I think of the horrible injustice that's being perpetrated against me when I see it on every single iTunes advertisement or this or that, and I've not made a dime, not seen a statement, don't even know how much I'm owed. It's just wrong. So you can see it was a part of my life that needed to be buried.
Right.
You know? along with whatever jealousy that was administered to create a decision such as that, to not allow it to get to the public by dismissing it automatically.
Well, for those people, for those of you who are listening, on Alanna's first album, four top songs came off of that, and Black Velvet became the most played song for 1989 and 90, and this floored me. I just found this out, believe it or not, doing research, that Black Velvet won an award for being played over 5 million times on radio in 89 and 90.
It's probably about, 8 or 10 million now. It gives me shivers to think.
I mean, it's incredible. And
it just gives me shivers.
I try to put myself in your place and think, if that was me, what would it do to me? But, I mean, that's unbelievable,
Well, I guess those factors, those figures factor into all of the elements of a phenomenon that is unexplainable.
Yeah.
And all that comes with it. And I think nothing could have prepared me. I went from rejected for 15 years of trying to ultimately being at the top of my game, and then there were cracks in the foundation and they needed to be healed. And Miles Copeland, with my I'm living with the injustice of the financial embezzlement,
right.
therefore those cracks needed to be paved over and healed. I need to not make decisions like that anymore that only draw the first record was cross-collateralized because my lawyer didn't go after in the first 2 years of the success to say, okay, well, look, she's a phenomenon, and in her contract it says we have to renegotiate, but nobody did. I just took a clause in that contract that said all the profits from the first record must go to pay the $7 million or $6 million it cost us to make her a star. So I didn't see a dime until 2 years ago. Not a dime.
That's unbelievable.
I know. I had to tour. And then I was always in debt because there's always somebody pulling money out of the back pocket and taking advantage of you. It was
been
a rough road for me, no question. But it's okay because it's brought me higher to believing that I'm in the place I need to be in the eyes of God. And I can't tell you the pouring forth of generous kindness, and that means more to me than the money.
Oh, that's nice.
You know?
We love hearing that. Like your fans, we love hearing you.
Yeah, that means more to me that they love what I do. That's what I asked for.
And we miss you. You know, we do. We miss you.
Be careful what you ask for. Now I'm asking for the money. I've got to implement some ideas to undo the foundations and ask for what belongs to me. And going out, I'd like to start a perfume, Black Velvet perfume.
Oh.
I'd like to start a mascara, Black Velvet mascara, because I've got some ideas. I'd like to, write a book. I have 50,000 words into a book, and as soon as I find the right circumstances, because the publishing industry is just as wicked as the music industry, and I don't want to be taken advantage of.
Right.
So I'm being pragmatic. I'm being cautious. I'm not leaping into that cesspool of iniquity and allowing myself to become drowned for 20 years. It's drowning, It's drowning when you don't have money to live on and you're just touring and you have no money to make a new record. And then I won a lawsuit for defamation of character, and I used every penny on the record and instead of buying a house, So I made a very costly, high-quality record, and I suppose I regret not spending my money a little more wisely,
Well, yeah, but you never thought that other situation was going to happen,
No, I did not. Anyway, it doesn't matter, but right now I'm being very cautious. I don't want to go back out there and have somebody rip me apart like vultures.
Right.
And make all the money from me. That's been the pattern. So I'm tired of that. I want a few years off from that, thank you.
Oh, good job. I don't blame you.
And then imagine what will spring forth once everything is all aligned. Because the music, I'm still writing the music. I've got a catalog full of ideas. I want to make a blues record, a vintage blues record with a jug band, and make it real hip.
I was going to ask you about that.
Because there's nobody out there except for Bonnie Raitt.
Yeah.
Doing the bluesy, rocky thing that's so pleasing in the heart and soul. Nobody's out there doing it except maybe Pink.
Yeah.
What a voice. And, Christian Aguilera, what a voice.
Yes. Yeah, that's very true.
Holy crap, all of that, man.
I just want to remind our listeners, you're listening to Alanna Miles here on Comp Fest Radio. What a treat. I, I, I want to ask you, you just mentioned all those songs that you have. That's on your Songwriting Mondays, right?
On Songwriting Mondays, Tony Duggan Smith and I get together, or Robert Priest and I, and soon maybe Christopher Warwick.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Thank you for the scoop.
Yeah. Well, he doesn't know it yet, but we will.
Well, yeah, you need any muscle, you give me a call, okay?
No, we're in speaking terms. He's my buddy. We're looking at something for the 25th anniversary. We don't know what, we're not sure about the business elements of what's happening with Warner yet to know whether to approach them to say, hey, let's do an anniversary record and do this, you know? And but Christopher's in my back pocket here, and we're looking at ways to, we're very proud of our work together. We're very proud of what we've instilled in the music history books. We're very proud of the ongoing nature of it, and we want to continue. But it has to be done fairly, because Atlanta got screwed royally, and it was perpetuated right down to the very, you know, it's got to stop. And the only person that can stop it, Bill, is me.
Yes.
So people are frustrated and they want more from Atlanta. But Atlanta can't give until she's healed. She's been terribly, brutally used, abused.
That's, you know, that's such a sin that somebody would do that, or people would do that.
Gotta stop. It's just gotta stop. And this is beyond simply the digital downloading, freeloading.
Right.
You know, that's beyond that. This is people who have signed my record and have in contract. It says they'll give me statements every year, and they don't. Or they'll give me the money that's accrued after they've been paid their, recouped, after recouped.
Right.
Well, Atlantic did. 3 years ago, I recouped my $6 million. That's $150,000 a year that I didn't put in my pocket.
Yeah.
My fans paid. So that's why I was giving away my Arrival record for free, because I'm not seeing any money from it. I was just saying, yeah, help yourself, go ahead, because I wasn't seeing any money, but that's anti-productive. So I finally got a hold of a criminal lawyer from Israel, no less, a Jewish lawyer from Israel with a German name, to go after His Highness and say, buddy, hello, buddy, there's some reckoning over here, and I'm talking about it now because I'm not afraid.
Yeah, well, no, good for you.
No, I want people to know, look, there's got to be some recompense here, you know? And also at the same time, I don't have the money to afford a lawyer, so this guy's doing it for pro bono, and I'll cut him in for a percentage. But artists such as me don't have the money to go after lawyers, because lawyers make their money off artists, that have a lot of money to go after people that do injustices. So I'm a cop between a rock and a hard place. And it's a challenge. It's a challenge, and I need to move forward from here. I need to attract to me the right elements, and I'm waiting for a few curves of the universe, the musical, the way things are rolling out there. I don't want to go create another phenomenon, being one of the only few women who do. And if I make a really lovely record, one of those, like, you know, Carole King tapestry of blues records, that's the kind of record I want to make. A boozy, poppy record that makes everybody just smile. Children will play it, adults will play it, everybody will play it. It's like that, you know, that the girl that had the cherry tree song?
Oh, yeah.
That's off the radio. That's the kind of record I make.
No.
I'm writing those kind of songs every Monday.
Well, if you do that, well, not if, when you do that old blues album,
yeah.
I would love to hear... I know you're going to write it yourself, but I would love to hear you do a cover of Begin the Begin.
What is that?
Oh, it's Sammy Davis did a lot of it. Ella Fitzgerald.
Can you send me an MP3 or the title of the song? I'll look it up.
Oh, yeah.
I'm open to suggestions, but I was looking more along the lines of something like Bob Dylan, like Heaven Knocking at Heaven's Door, or something spiritually uplifting, or Silent Night for that matter. You know, not necessarily something that's public domain, which is always useful. You don't want to pay people, you know, when you need to make the dough yourself. You have to be pragmatic about what you're going to sing, because you're putting money in other people's pockets, but which I can only, you know, speak from experience. But that's not always the best, you know. If I didn't have Black Velvet, I wouldn't have Black Velvet.
Right.
So I'm not stupid, and I'm very benevolent. Sure, Christopher made, you know, 4 to 10 times the amount of money I did, or Atlantic did on my behalf.
Wow.
But that's okay. He wrote, that's the way the industry works. He wrote the song. Even though I fashioned it, I nobody could sing it quite that way. I wrote it.
Right.
It's not in the eyes of legal status writing, you know.
Well,
I it's debatable, but I'm not taking him to court because
you're still like really, you're still right there with your writing because it's a 2010. You entered a song.
I win not only the category, the rock and roll category, put it in, but I win the whole Grand Slam.
You won the whole thing.
She co-wrote the song with me.
But that's awesome. I mean, people—I know people don't realize that it was the International Songwriters Contest in the States, and you just—wow—you won the whole thing.
Yeah, I think there was something like 85,000 entrants.
Wow.
I know. It was like wow.
So I mean, it shows that you just—we're waiting for you.
Well, I did that as a lark, and then it really didn't do anything other than cause friction between the songwriter and I, because I'd invested $25,000 in the song that won, and I needed, you know. Whatever. There was not peace in the valley. Because they advertised that you're going to make $50,000. Well, yeah, if 20th Ought is in free promotion, but unfortunately it's for the company that doesn't do squat to get you promoted, it may be offering a nice expensive gift and stuff that I couldn't, was not accessible to me, you know, still in my closets. You know, it's sure $50,000 for the prizes, but I think, you know, the cash prize was $5,000. Give me the $50,000, man.
Yeah.
But they did not. So they aren't really cracked up what they are. As to a young person who writes a song, yes. But I've already got more success in my lifetime than, you know, most could shake their fist at. So to me, it was just a like you say, it's another feather in my cap.
Oh, yeah. That's how I look at it, you know, like you're still there. You still have it.
Maybe that's why I did it, because I wanted to prove to people that my team is capable of still being out there selected among my brethren.
Yeah.
Even though radio doesn't play me because I don't have a record company that's got a vested interest of millions and millions of dollars to get me out there on and make sure I'm shopped on every, you know, Ellen DeGeneres and and David Letterman, et cetera, not out there plogging the deal, you know. Therefore, without that kind of fancy pants and an indie label who employs an indie low-salaried promotional PR person can't get you those deals. You need that comes from the company.
Do you think that's why somebody, say, for instance, like Celine, uses her husband to manage her? Maybe there's more trust there.
I would say it's the other way around. I would say that they both have become successful. She followed his advice and, as a result, became who she became. She had the talent. She had the smarts. He was the smarty punties. He's also a very nice man. I mean, he's a smart man. He knew what to do. And so together, if I had had that kind of relationship with Miles Copeland, there's no telling what I could have accomplished.
Right.
But I did not. There was a third party that got that wedged in between us that did nasty, nasty things to me, and I hauled ass and got out of there and said, "Get out of, I'm out of town," and said, "That's it, no more, bye, see ya." I didn't like the way I was being treated. I told him he wasn't paying attention. She had too many secrets. She showed her colors and she was fired and with, I'm sure, a payoff, a silent a gag clause. You know, whatever. I can't go there. It's too volatile and it's none of my business. And I'm not about to open up cans of worms just because of sour grapes.
Yeah, no, I understand that. And
I have to be smart about this. And also, Universal has distribution on that record, on those records, and I want to do business with them. You know, so I've got to be very careful.
Right.
You know, you can't pound your fists when those people are going to be somebody that you want to do business in the future. You have to be very, very careful and very eloquent.
Right.
The way that, you know, I go after Miles because he's the perpetrator of the evil, but Universal isn't. They're a bystander.
I understand that.
You know.
And you know what? Your fans are going to be very interested to hear this because, again, as a fan, I always wanted to know where you were.
I think in a nutshell, I just explained what the hell happened to me spiritually, and it can no longer go on.
Right.
And that's why I'm taking my sweet butt time.
Well, if I can ask you something a little bit, this is also about your career. Years and years ago, I had a bad fall. I broke my back in three spots.
Oh, my goodness.
And the only thing I found that ever worked was going to a chiropractor, and people don't realize That's what happened to you. That's what really hurt you, was a chiropractor. And I have found the same thing out.
Well, among other things, because it's not just the chiropractor, there had to be extenuating circumstances in my blood, in the way I treated my body, in the improper diet, etc., from the very foundations of my being, from this life born as a young child and growing up. All of that factors into it. But I was stopped dead in my tracks, finally, by an injury that I went to a chiropractor to have treated. But I did so abusively. I allowed the volume of the chiropractic adjustments, 3 in a week for six months, caused you're breaking your connection with your spine.
Right.
By allowing somebody to come and wrench you back into position. If that had not taken place, I might not be in the physical displeasure that I'm in now. I can't write them all off because they do good for some people.
Well, yeah, the ones that do shiatsu, I tend to hear do better because they're just working on the muscles, you know?
Oh, it was the repeated adjustments that
right.
hurt me, you see. It was the volume of adjustments and the time between. Your body needs a month to go between a correction like that to go. You just gave it an earthquake. Well, doing that 3 times a week?
Yeah.
You know, it's not healthy.
Yeah, no, well, think about having like a slipping or falling on the ice. You need a few days, if not a week or two.
I wasn't prepared to stop and heal. Instead, I said, I'm going to force the issue.
Right.
And that's the nature of my crime against Alana Miles.
Well, yeah, but you just wanted to get better, and you thought that was helping.
The universe gave me a good swift kick in the pants and said, slow the crap down. You're going way too fast. You know, and then when you get to the top of your game at 33 years of age, you've got to really be ready for that. If you're not, it's a crash. So, you know, people can accuse me all they like of what have you done lately, because they don't know.
Right.
My challenges are what they are, but I'm not done with this world yet, and I didn't commit suicide when all others may have. I didn't take myself out because I knew I had a responsibility to what God gave me in this life to represent that God-given gift to others. I knew that I'd come back as a nymphomaniac paraplegic, for God's sakes, with a beautiful face and could do nothing about it. What a horrible thought. I mean, I'm being completely obtuse, but the point is I believe in reincarnation, so I believe if we don't bless what we're given in this life, and I was given a great deal. Sure, the juxtaposes against the dark side, but unless I can deal with it, I'm going to have to come back and deal with it again at some other time, and it was pretty horrible in this life. I don't want it to manifest any larger than it did. So in that respect, reincarnation and the belief in it helped me.
Right.
You know? It made me understand that you need to. Life is a miracle, and what you're given in that life is yours to alter. Had I not allowed somebody to come in and convince me that 3 chiropractic adjustments a week of snapping my spine and breaking my my connection with God, or whatever that spiritual connection is between your spine and you know, your spiritual being, and so when, if that had not have been completely altered and broken in half and then forced to continue to do so, it's abuse. It's abuse.
Yeah, it is.
That's all that the only thing I can say. It's abuse, and I did it to myself by allowing it. So I take responsibility for that, and I stopped doing it, and I found another way. And the other way was to stop, pause, genuflect, understand, suffer through the pain, understand what the pain is attached to emotions, uncover those emotions, and feel them. I was putting it all into my music, but that's not good enough for Alana, the human being. Fine, but you can't live out on a divine edge of a cloud.
Right.
You have to come back down to earth.
I know. This is a question right out of left field, but do you possibly see a correlation between your chiropractor and Miles Copeland, sort of like in a way to make you take charge of your life?
Absolutely. They Miles Copeland was just the universe's way of saying, okay, here there's a break coming. I attracted that to me. Otherwise, otherwise I'd have I'd be Justin Bieber, right? I'd have all these good people making good decisions. Well, although I don't think that complaining about not winning, getting shut, what does the manager say, snubbed from the Grammys is a very intelligent choice. You can't beat up the Grammys for not giving you an award.
Well, again, that's jealousy too. You know, if that song is good enough or a song is good enough, and we, the fans, are saying, "Hey, look at the song."
We're saying we want more than kitty stuff.
Yeah, exactly. We want more substance. You know.
Yeah, that's the way of the world. The Grammys is our last vestige of in order to identify what is art and what is hard work and circumstance and so on. You know, I mean, there's no question that he is a decent young man, and he has really done some lovely things and shown acts of kindness, and he's a good boy. He's a really good boy, but that doesn't win you Grammys.
You know what? I just had kind of a wild...
I heard the other day, I didn't know what to expect.
Right.
From the band One Direction, and I watched David Letterman, and I literally raised my hands and applauded them because they touched my heart. Because they're beautiful boys, and they get... That's my kind of song. It touches your heart. It's got an intriguing lyric. It touches on the Leonard Cohen aspect of a woman and how you touch the woman and the holes in the back of her dimples and all this and all that. All those lovely, lovely references to the woman's body and the woman's anatomy to being ones that make you remember the love you felt for her, etc. The simplicity of the lyric and the oddity by which the sweetness and the beauty of their delivery. All of that, Simon is our answer. You know, I think I would like to be signed to Simon Cowell. I think Simon would know what to do with me. He would let me be with the creative process and know what to do with the business. And that's what I need. I need Celine Dion's husband, but I don't want a husband. I don't want a husband. I just want a fair, honest person that's fulfilled in their exchange of giving me the business acumen and placing my divinely inspired work out to the public, and I want there to be a fair exchange. Because you know what? I want to turn that money around. There's nothing that gives me more joy to hear the woman who wrote the, what's her name? She wrote the Harry Potter books.
All right.
She diminished her billionaire status by all the money she's donated.
Yeah, isn't that something?
And that's what I like. The world needs the billionaires of the world not to get greedy and hoard their money for 3,000 generations to put it back in the world. Help this world.
Yeah, well, Richard Branson, or Sir Richard, has done the same type of thing, you know?
Robert Plant, but he doesn't get acumen for it.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? I didn't know that.
Yeah. He does everything in his power not to take credit for that. But he does everything in his power to diminish his... He's humbled in that way. You know, but he was made Sir Robert because of all the money he's devoted to hospitals and so on from the profits from Led Zeppelin.
Yeah, he's
a good soul. He really does put back in more ways than anybody knows because he's so humble.
Right.
Like, Madonna's the same way. She's put back. She doesn't ask for she does the right thing. She does the right thing. But you can't teach a rich person who's making money to do the right thing. And also, even if it's the right thing is, well, it's money you're going to have to give the government, so let's, you know, spend it before we have to give it to the government. So what? You still had to go forth and be smart. Make sure that you know, the money that you would have had to give the government is going to go back into the world. It's just inspired thinking at the cost of, you know, a greedy government.
Right.
Uh-oh, I better be careful, huh?
We'll take care of you. We're right behind you, the fans. Don't worry about it.
Well,
we're there 100%.
I must be very careful with the proclamations, and I'm a very proclamation kind of gal, and it hasn't worked. It hasn't really served me.
Yes, but like every good Canadian, you pay your fair share of taxes, right?
Do I ever?
No, oh, there you go. So.
Actually, to be honest with you, the first fair share of taxes went to Uncle Sam.
Yeah.
Because the big killing was back in 1990, 1991, from the spillover from 89, and I was living in America, and I paid American taxes. And it was a big figure. Oh, six figures? Oh. I'd be writing a check for six figures.
Wow.
Yeah, hello.
That hurts.
Yeah, sure it does. I think it was probably seven, but who's counting? whatever.
I'll never see that much.
Oh, I know. No, and debt is debt. I've been in debt for 20 years. Even when I'm rich, I'm in debt. It's the nature, and I'd like to undo that. Because how can I give back some money that the Earth music lovers have put in my pocket? I feel guilty that I'm not putting it back. Because I can't. I can't afford to.
Yeah, well, no, nobody blames you for that. I mean, that's not your fault.
Well, I get a lot of charities are reaching out for freebies. Every single week I receive at least two or three freebies. I want this, I want that. I don't have the reserve. I don't have the resources to do that. And I don't give them an explanation, so I just feel guilty.
Well, don't feel guilty. You shouldn't feel guilty, not after what you've been through. You know, you're a survivor, and now more people are going to know about this, and they're going to stick behind you even more.
Well, I have some new news.
Oh.
I think you may. Do you want to do a break and come back and discuss the new news, or are we on live?
Oh, no, we're not on live. We're recording this.
Okay, fine.
So, please go ahead. Before we do end the interview, if there's anything you would like to tell us or you want your fans to know, please.
Well, I'm a little hesitant, sheepish, if you will, because I don't like talking about things that you then have to live down.
Right.
But
I understand.
I have a wonderful director, been Hollywood director, who's been successful.
You are listening to Compass Radio. We still got one more segment left in the Atlanta Miles interview. If you're anything like me, you're sitting here stunned by what is going on and what you're hearing. Okay, quick news. Ready? This is how you get your T-shirt. The seventh person in to know that the CFL, the Canadian Football League, is not only following Confess Radio, but is tweeting us out. Yes, the Canadian Football League. So, seventh person, you're going to win a Confess shirt. In the meantime, we're back to Atlanta Miles. Courtesy of the Compass Global Community Film Festival.
Kind of gal, and it doesn't work. It hasn't really served me.
Yes, but like every good Canadian, you pay your fair share of taxes, right?
Do I ever?
No, there you go. So.
Actually, to be honest with you, the first fair share of taxes went to Uncle Sam.
Yeah.
Because of the big killing was back in 1990, 1991, but from the spillover from 89, and I was living in America, and I paid American taxes. And it was a big figure. Six figures?
Oh.
I'd be writing a check for six figures.
Wow.
Yeah, hello.
That hurts.
Yeah, sure it does. I think it was probably seven, but who's counting? Whatever.
I'll never see that much.
Oh, I know. No, and debt is debt. I've been in debt for 20 years. Even when I'm rich, I'm in debt. It's the nature, and I'd like to undo that. Because how can I give back some money that the Earth music lovers have put in my pocket? I feel guilty that I'm not putting it back. Because I can't. I can't afford to.
Yeah, well, no, nobody blames you for that. I mean, that's not your fault.
Well, I get a lot of charities are reaching out for freebies. Every single week I receive at least two or three freebies. I want this, I want that. I don't have the reserve. I don't have the resources to do that. And I don't give them an explanation, so I just feel guilty.
Don't feel guilty. You shouldn't feel guilty, not after what you've been through. You know, you're a survivor, and now more people are going to know about this, and they're going to stick behind you even more.
Well, I have some new news.
Oh.
I think you may. Do you want to do a break and come back and discuss the new news, or are we on live?
Oh, no, we're not on live. We're recording this.
Okay, fine.
So, please go ahead. Before we do end the interview, if there's anything you would like to tell us or you want your fans to know, please.
Well, I'm a little hesitant, sheepish, if you will, because I don't like talking about things that you then have to live down.
Right.
But
I understand.
I have a wonderful director, been Hollywood director, who's been successful, who would like to, he's gathered some funds together and is pursuing the idea of submitting funds for a documentary of my life story. I have 50,000 words comprised for a book called Black Velvet, the Atlanta Miles Story. I have a gorgeous cover that I've paid for and have negotiated rights to use by Deborah Samuel. It's a gorgeous photograph. I'm the most spilled beans, and I'm getting future of the events to come will be to submit the documentary to, obviously, the TIFF and Cannes and so on to gain recognition to then go forward with the release of a book and then sculpt it into a feature film and going and casting it, and that's going to be fun. So to tell my story, because it really does need telling, I just have to find a way to tell it, because it's pretty ugly. The beginning, it's pretty ugly. And I've got to find a way to tell the story without making anyone pay for it.
Right.
And I'm all about dignity. So I'm the one, I've called upon myself. The universe has placed me in this position in time to find a way to show people how to do it. Rather than, don't commit suicide because you think it's the end of the world.
Right.
But find a, it's a challenge to find a way to not allowing people to invasively research your past that will be wounding and remain strong and dignified. I don't want people to look at, I don't want pity. I don't want pity.
Yeah.
It's not my, I'm proud. I'm humble. I have been humbled. I've been greatly humbled by my circumstances, and I needed to be because I had a huge ego. But I realized without that ego, I never would have accomplished what I did. So it's all a balance, isn't it? But I have to find a way. So I found, I took the high road. I will not discuss, I will discuss what is legally mine, and I will use allegedly in front of everything. I will protect those who I don't feel it's within my rights to drag into the light. Just because I've decided to go challenge, you know, my unfortunate beginnings by allowing myself to learn about what I needed to learn from those unfortunate beginnings to be able to put it back in the world in a positive way. And that's what I did. That's just what I did. But now I believe that the challenge for me is to find a way to help others tell their story without the fear of... when you just start telling your story, those people that don't want to believe your story, you've done all the work, but they're not ready to believe it, and they will go against you, and they will fight you, and you will be right back where you started.
Yeah, the retribution you have to worry about.
Yeah, I want to protect myself from the retribution.
Oh, I don't blame you, and...
Because my story... Do you know that some of the book publishers, when I had an agent, said, we don't want to touch this? Too many lawsuits? I went, isn't that called controversy?
Yeah, that would that would sell.
What am I supposed to do, Bill? Tell skirt around the truth? It's not in my that's not my MO.
No, that wouldn't be fair to yourself.
No, but it is a big, huge leap of faith in the universe that I will be taken care of. I just have to find a way to protect myself in doing so, because many people out there could come back against me with my truth and be very angry and make my life as I knew it over. Not physically, of course. Nobody's going to kill me, but I did have to wait for a few people to die.
Well, you know what? I just from talking to you, I know you've got the strength in you. You've got the resolve to do it. And, you know, God bless you. All of our, the fans out there, myself, we're going to be behind you every bit of the way. And, you know, this is going to grow. This is going to turn people's heads. And people nowadays...
I think people will understand the challenges involved.
Yes.
As to why... They will understand why I have not deluged them with money-making music. Because why am I going to feed the coffers?
Right.
Until I attract to my, until I deplete myself of whatever patterns I drew through the form of my patterns, drew to me to make me continually suffer... after giving the world joy, until I turn that around, I cannot go forth until I put an end inside myself to what it is that I'm attracted to me that's making my life miserable at every turn.
Right. Well, you deserve to be able to do that and move on, because you're a heck of a lady.
I got about another few decades left in me. My mom's 95 and going strong.
God bless her.
So the fruit doesn't fall far from the tree. So therefore, that Irish strain keeps us alive for years. So I'm alive for a while. I'm going to fix myself and I'm going to get myself back up into presentable and back into a as perfect as I can be. do my work, but I want to do it so that I'm happy and I can afford a jet plane.
Yeah.
To take me here and take me there and bring my buddies.
And come and visit us.
Yeah.
Back in Toronto. We miss you.
You know. Well, there's always Skype in future when I'm, you know, when I'm going through a period of change, transformation with my look, and I'm not ready to expose it yet until I'm ready, so therefore no Skyping.
Yeah, well, you know, you're always welcome here on Compass Radio, and hopefully, you know, in the future.
Well, maybe I'll be coming back to you when I've got something to talk about, like a documentary.
Please.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, definitely, we'll keep in touch, and you know what, maybe through this interview.
The door has been left. And that's a lovely thing.
Well, hey, Oprah might hear about this and go, hey, wait a minute.
Oprah is, she's now got a lot more time in her hands trying to find ways and means to bring enlightenment to the world because she and I come from the same tawdry beginnings.
Right.
Maybe I came from a wealthy family, but all is not to be, just because you're born from a wealthy family doesn't mean save you from corruption.
That's very true.
No way.
But again, Alana, I cannot thank you enough for being on the radio today with us and helping us. Well, you are. And to be honest with you, you're helping us grow, and we wish you nothing but the best of luck in the future. And please keep in touch. And I'm going to keep.
I very much enjoyed the ability to speak my truth. My jaw is sore because I've just crapped out a whole bunch of crap that I've been hanging on to for a long time, and this is an exclusive, right? So. I've not given this to anybody else. And it's not really a place where a lot of people they're not open to the idea. It's usually, you know, maybe 30 minutes cut and dried, and then off you go. And it's way too heavy subject matter for some to take. So thank you for giving me the opportunity to expose.
Oh, no, that's one thing we do at Compass.
Thanks for allowing me the opportunity to shed some light on my life so that people would be able to gain knowledge, because that's really what it's all about.
Oh, no, it's our pleasure. I can't tell you. It was really our pleasure. Thank you very much.
And hello to all my fans. I miss you, and I'm in a hurry to get back, but I've got to come back in one piece.
Oh, well, yeah, we hope so.
Yeah, and with all my... with a collection of people around me that are going to do the right thing for me, who are going to take good care of me when I'm out there and demands are called upon me. When I was out there, nobody was feeding me. They were busy blow-drying their hair looking for husbands, and they were paid $1,700 a week.
Wow.
You know, to go blow-dry their hair and get a husband, and my food wasn't on the table. And I would go on an overnight trip from shooting 18 live takes of 18-hour shoot of Still Got This Thing to the bottom line in New York City on a bus with no tuna sandwich.
Wow.
But with nothing in my gut, you know? Like, that's not right. And I'm paying for this? Do you see what I mean?
Yes.
Yeah, there's got to be a better respect for Alana.
Well, anytime we can do something for you, please, you contact us, because we would love to have you on. Personally, I could talk to you every day.
You're an angel.
I mean that.
We will be talking to each other on Facebook and you know, sharing our little stories.
Right. Okay. Yeah, great.
I'm enjoying being able to interact with the fans. And now I'm selling some artifacts on my Etsy site, my Black Velvet Elvis, because it's a way of giving back some of the money that they gave me to buy these nice things and for a pittance for them to have something. Like some guy bought a pair of boots that I wore in a photograph, and he's like completely... lady bought a pair of boots in the East Coast, the red pair that are in a video for such and such. Another lady bought a suede jacket I wore in the Trouble video in Norway. So little pieces of me are going back out into the world. And it's kind of fun.
Oh, yeah, they'd love that.
Yeah, it's kind of fun. I'm not soaking people for, you know, well, I'm not sure how much I could get because my, you need to have viral circumstances before you're a Kardashian, if you know what I mean.
No, I do know what you mean.
But I don't know about that. One day I will be. One day. But not now. Right now we're in the Reformation.
Right.
You know, we're repairing the cracks and healing. But nothing stops my creativity, so I'll be quite something to be reckoned with when I'm ready to release.
Yeah, and hey, that's when we'll get you back before then, but for sure, you know, we'll make sure we get you on Comvest.
Would be wonderful.
Oh, I appreciate it. Thank you again, Alana. It's been such a treasure for me.
Thank you so much, Bill.
Goodbye.
Stay well.
Oh, wasn't that incredible? That was Alana Miles, Toronto's Golden Girl. This is Confest Radio, brought to you by the Confest Global Community Film Festival. Don't forget, send in any films that you have to confest.com, pardon me, two M's, two F's. We hope you enjoy the interview. We're going to play an encore of that on Monday, on New Year's Eve. So listen to that if you want to hear it again or archive it. And once again, this is Bill Santee saying we hope you had a great night. We hope you loved the interview. Thank you very much, Randy. You won a shirt, buddy. So take care, everybody. Happy New Year's and good night.